who has struggled with God. This is huge, because we see any form of struggle usually as negative and bad, and this story shows us it's not. Struggle is actually a God-initiated blessing in our lives. The knocking, that is a good thing. How can this be? This is such a foreign concept to us. We don't want an uphill path. We want the downhill path. We want a coast, thank you very much. Why would God want us to struggle? Why would God label our struggles as a blessing? Why would he wire it to work that way? I'll address this by sharing a quote from a Netflix show called The World's Most Extraordinary Houses. I don't know if some of you have watched it. It says the most amazing thing in one episode. He says, seismic structures are built to withstand forces that are not even present until they happen. Did you get that? They build houses to withstand happening, at least not in the present time. This is true in Eugene. I took a sabbatical a long, long time ago from ministry, and I worked for 9 months in construction, and they were the worst 9 months of my life. I am so bad at it. And I was the grunt. I had to do all the jobs. That was my job for 9 months. And one of the things I had to do was install hurricane bolts. They're called bolts, but they're like brackets. Hurricane brackets into a house that was out by Fern Ridge. And I thought, we are making this house, hurricanes hit Eugene. I don't think in the history of Eugene there's been a hurricane, but I had to install the brackets, and they couldn't be installed with a nail gun because they had the thickest nails I've ever seen in my life. They look like miniature railroad spikes. So I had to get them up, hammer these nails, and the first swing, you had to swing with all your might to get these thick nails in there. And I was doing pretty good, and then I must have got tired, and I completely whiffed. I airballed the nail and just crushed my thumb and forefinger at the same time in my life. And you couldn't help it. If you would have done it, you would have cussed too. Excruciating pain. But back to the sermon. I'm digressing, as is my habit. I totally believe God does the same things in our life. I believe God gets us ready for seismic events in our future before they even happen. A friendship that's introduced to our life that somehow strengthens us. Sometimes it's through a verse that God just pops out at you as you're reading the scripture, and it deepens your relationship with him. Sometimes it's through a spiritual practice that deepens your soul. You'll go through a smaller struggle now that gets you ready for a larger struggle, a seismic event in your life later on. As you look around, you might look at other people's lives and think, man, their life seems so easy, and yours seems to be a grind, especially when it comes to your faith. If that's true of you, good for you. You are blessed. God is actually developing this holy resolve in you that you're going to need in the future. Now, I know what some, and we seek, and we knock, and we get just crickets. No seeming answers. No answers, no insights, no open doors. I get that. That's happened quite a few times in my life. But perhaps the point of these verses is keep seeking, keep knocking, keep struggling, because the holy resolve that God wants to give us won't happen if life is just handed to us on a silver platter. So, that's just a thought. Let's move on to the moment. Asking, seeking, and knocking leads us, every one of us, to what I would experience in our lives. There's a quote that I read recently. I was going to put it on the screen, but obviously I can't. And it says this, prayer is you being at the end of you. That's what prayer is, coming to the end of yourself. That's brilliant. I believe ask you at the end of you. It's me at the end of me. Because doing these three things, asking, seeking, knocking, means we need help, and we know it. We need wisdom. We need direction. We need doors open, and we can't do it by ourselves. And we don't, I'll tell you what we like. We like power. We like control. We like self-sufficiency. And this self-reliance is like the ocean that our culture wants to swim in and invites us into the waters. And it seems to work for a while. Until we face some sort of struggle or hardship or suffering that is beyond us to deal with on our own. And we quickly exhaust our own resources to deal with it. And that is where the crucial moment happens. That is the moment you realize and embrace your own power. You are not God, and you have to allow God to be God. And that moment is frightening. It's so frightening, but in a crazy kind of way, it's also comforting. Author Julia Baird, she lives in Australia, and she can do that because she lives in Australia, not in Oregon. She'd die of hypothermia. But she says this, she does it for a reason. She says, it's an experience I wouldn't give up for anything, because to swim in something so vast reminds me of how comforting it is to experience the awe that comes from being silenced by something greater than myself. That's why she swims in the ocean. And she is right. After the initial fright, I've discovered that it's comforting to come to the end of yourself, feel small. Scary at first, but then it becomes comforting because you get to stand in the awe of God. The best example from Scripture, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here she is, a young woman, probably a teenager. They got married younger back then because they didn't live as long. She's probably an angel. That alone would be terrifying, okay? That would undo me. But she gets visited by an angel, and then the angel says, "You, Mary, are going to become pregnant and give birth to the Son of the Living God." How would you like to hear that as a teenager? She is probably, the whole concept of being pregnant, scary. The whole concept of getting married, scary. And then she's told by an angel, by this heavenly being, that she's going to give birth to the living Son of God. Oh my goodness, she couldn't make this happen by herself. She would have been at the end. Luke chapter 1, she sings a song about this experience. It's called the Magnificat. And one of the lines, it's actually verse 48 in Luke chapter 1, says, "For he has looked with favor on the lowliness." Amazing. Mary is singing in exuberance about the fact that God looked with favor on her lowliness. God didn't look with favor on her strength. God didn't look with favor on her self-sufficiency. God didn't look with favor on the fact that she was maybe trying really hard to be good. Favor on her lowliness. Yet you and I, most of us in this room, we curse ourselves for our lowliness. We curse ourselves for our weakness, for our powerlessness. We hate with a white-hot hatred to ever have to describe ourselves as needy. Have you ever had to needy today? That is an awful thing. We hate that, right? When in reality, and please hear me, when in reality, those moments are God's perfect entry point into our lives. No wonder Mary sang about her lowliness. In our spiritual things, we actually think a right relationship with God means to be so self-sufficient and shiny and strong and happy and good that we actually don't need God. How crazy is that? That's what we think a right relationship with God is, becoming somehow. That's not a right relationship with God. A right relationship with God is actually having moments when you realize your powerlessness, when you recognize your lowliness, when you know your only option is to start asking and seeking and knocking because you need help for your powerlessness. Congratulate yourself, because the end of your power is the beginning of God's power being injected into your life. Just another thought. Lastly, let's talk about the appetite. Here's another quote about prayer, but it has to do with what we're talking about. Prayer is opening yourself up to God in all things that matter. Prayer is speaking to God, pouring out your heart to God about things that make you glad or sad or happy or stir you up or confuse you. That's prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking is the same way. Asking, seeking, knocking is opening yourself up, because God is the giver of goodness. God wants to give us all kinds of gifts: joy, faith, hope, strength, encouragement, all those things. The list goes on. But in the midst of asking and seeking and knocking, we discover that the best gift is actually God. That's what God wants to give us the most, God's self. Sadly, many of us have been taught that a relationship with Jesus is all about believing in Jesus, or more accurately, believing in what people in power, and that's not what it's about. The word believe, I did a study this week, it blew my mind. The word believe did not originally mean believing a set of doctrines and teachings. In the Greek language that the New Testament is mostly written in, the root of the word believe actually means to give one's heart to. It used to mean to be loved. God wants to take us all on a journey from believe in your head to beloved in your heart. A journey that Richard Beck says, having your faith enchanted. A journey that Francis Spufford describes, so close to you that you're being seen from the inside with a generosity that's wider than oceans. It's a great journey to go from believe to beloved. Facts about Jesus are fine. Please learn all the facts about Jesus you can. Ever. All of us have an appetite for more, and God is the more. But the good news is God is participatory. God is not static. God is event. We can actually experience the more. We're bumping into God, attracted to recognize it. The asking, the seeking, the knocking is one thing that helps us notice God, helps us to be opened up to God. And on our way to getting answers, on our way to getting wisdom, on our way to walking through, oh God. And if we will learn, which is my prayer for all of us, including myself, if we will learn to pay attention, I truly believe that even routine situations are sacred and they're on fire with the same force that lit the stars. We can recognize that if we'll pay attention. So keep asking, but be ready to receive more than you're hoping for. Get ready for the indescribably good gift of the presence and the awareness of the nearness of God, the more that your soul hungers for on a daily basis. So those are some, and knocking. Jimmy's gonna come up and lead us in a quick prayer, or a quick spiritual practice, then I'll end with a few announcements I have to make today. Jimmy, you wanna come on up?
Thank you. Julian of Norwich was a good asker. And she had good reason to be an asker. Hundreds during the Black Death, the many waves of Black Death that would come through and kill almost everybody, and then come through and kill most of everybody else, and then kill a bunch more of everybody else. And on her deathbed, she had an experience. Jesus came to her. She was in a place where she knew her lowliness. She was living in hell, experiencing hell in her own body even. And it was right after the Hundred Years' War, by the way. She was in England. But she, in that lowliness, when God came to her, she asked the right questions, such as, what the hell? Where are you in this hell? And one of the answers was to say, look in your hand. Everybody, look in your hand. And he said, look at this little thing. And it was, she said, it was about like a hazelnut. And this is in a certain sense how I see everything. You, the world, pain. And this was something she could relate to and have some understanding of, so God met. And this makes sense to us, right? Because these were harvested and grown up in Salem by our friends, the Vays, that some of us know, and they gave them to me. So this is real and down to earth for us. And God said, I want you to notice three things about what's in your hand. I am the one who formed this. I am the one who loves this, and I am the one who sustains this. And whatever this is, your mom who's sick, it could be a country far away that seems like they're having a really hard time. It could be your new job. It could be anything. It could be the whole world. It all fits there. The idea is not to demonstrate the separateness of God from the world, but to demonstrate that if God is love, love is enfolding everything. That like Julia and the ocean, swimming in the ocean doesn't describe your separateness from the ocean. It describes your consumedness by the ocean, your surroundedness, that we are enfolded in love. And so something that we can do that God give her something to look at and think about and put in the context of love. This thing, whatever I want to put in my hand as this hazelnut, is beloved, is enfolded, is surrounded and sustained in the first place by love. It comes out of love, it is through love, and it is to love. So let's take a minute and think of anything we want and picture as this hazelnut and put it in our hand, taking that you would like to imagine being enfolded by love and live out that enfolding right this minute. Now, so often and put it in your hand again, but also, I bet you, if you were to hold your hand and kind of plop it in there a couple times and feel how heavy it is and its sort of shape, and then take it out and then imagine feeling it again, that filbert there, even though it's not there. And now I can remember anytime I want, I can take out my hand, feel the weight of that little filbert, and marinate in the reality that enfolded in the love of God. And for that reason, and maybe that reason alone, I can say, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.
Couple of quick announcements before you go. Thanks for leading us in that practice. We do spiritual practices most every week here to actually practice what we're hearing, so thanks for that. Here's some announcements. There is a kids ministry sign up in the foyer, especially for the fall. We're going to be in need of volunteers. Now, it is traditional in churches where you and then rope them in there for all of eternity, okay? That's not what we do here at Faith Avenue. If you sign up, it's not for life. It doesn't even have to be every week. You can even sign up as a substitute in times of need. So applications are at the table in the kids' room and talk to Danae, and she's happy to answer any of your questions. We're going to need some more volunteers in the fall. Second, I just want you to mark your calendars for Labor Day weekend. It's the first Sunday in September. It's Sunday, September 3rd, I believe. Combined service here on Memorial Day weekend, and it went really well with Emmaus Church. They've asked us to do it again on Labor Day weekend. So we're going to combine both churches on Labor Day weekend. It is so fun, and different people from different churches will be on your calendars. And then Labor Day night out at at Pete and Mariah's house, out at their venue that's out there. It's the hangar. It's an airport hangar. They remodeled it into a concert venue. We're doing our annual wine into water and water into wine. We are getting wine donated, and then we're selling it that night and having desserts in the hangar and having live music. There's three different groups that are coming, and all the proceeds go to Charity Water, the most amazing nonprofit in the world that's delivering clean water to people in great need. On attending that, that'll be 7 to 9 that night. All right, mark your calendars. Have a great week. Hope to see you here next week as we finish up our look at the Sermon on the Mount. God bless. Have a great one.